Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
I love you, you love me.
So Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm fine. Where are we? We're at some Japanese restaurant again.
Yeah. We're in a Japanese restaurant called Nama.
N-A-M-A.
Sushi.
Okay.
And it's in Walnut Creek.
California.
California. We seem to be doing a California Walnut Creek thing.
I know.
To the audience out there, we have to start out right now and apologize because the place is pretty packed.
Yeah, so hopefully it won't be too noisy on this Radio Shack PZM microphone.
It's a realistic.
Yeah, this Radio Shack. Yeah, I'm trying to hide it. His name is Wes. I'm the world-famous Mark Bernay.
World-famous Mark Bernay.
And this is Slurpcast.
So we started out the show. I just had just made an order of just nothing but sushi tonight, which is very unusual because it means there's, other than fish, there's no meat. I'm not actually having any meat.
Okay.
Which means I'm that much closer to Steve Jobs.
Uh-huh. Because I had some Steve Jobs items today.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, kapamaki, was it? It's really avocado. I said cucumber, but it's really avocado, right?
It's not avocado. It's really cucumber.
It is cucumber, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I just remember I like it. It's vegetarian. Because I don't like the weird fishy sushis that much.
Okay. But is it processed in any way by...
I don't really care. I just don't like the word sushi. That's the only reason I get that.
So you're not that close to Steve Jobs then?
No.
You're not that Steve-like?
Not whatsoever.
I see.
But one item, just to get us all pissed off at Steve,
okay,
so we can then go on to the next item and make fun of him, is... On the 25th anniversary of the Macintosh, Steve was quoted in saying, Jobs recalled that any suggestion of nostalgia for the birthday of the Macintosh. I don't think about that, he said. When I got here in 1997, I was looking for more room, and I found an archive of old Macs and other stuff. I said, get it away. I shipped all that shit off to Stanford. If you look backward in this business, you'll be crushed. You have to look forward.
Okay.
So if that's the way he feels about our Slurpcast, or what's new is old Slurpcast,
right,
then heck with him.
I mean, that's how he feels... That's how he feels about old technology, you know, we just ignoring it. That's,
yeah,
that's,
it doesn't even want a museum. It doesn't want anything.
Yes. I know. It's complete crap.
I know. So this is the first year in recent memory that he wasn't the Apple spokesman at Macworld.
Right.
And apparently, because of his weird health problem, I think he's withdrawing it. It sounds like he's not.
Thank you.
Sounds like he's not working at Apple that hard nowadays. So it's hard to say.
But I think there's a positive, optimistic view towards Steve leaving and kind of being involved in Apple less. And that is that the sooner he leaves, the sooner we can start selling and receiving and participating in the consumption of iMeat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because iMeat is the new product that they're going to come out with.
Right.
Food, right?
Exactly. Well, they're actually researching it now. See, what Steve didn't realize is as soon as he disconnected all the different departments so that they didn't know what the other departments were doing, it would soon cause some branch to go off and secretly start inventing products that they knew he would not necessarily like.
I see.
Like keyboards with arrow keys.
I wish the iPhone had arrow keys.
Yeah.
It's really kind of a pain doing that thing of sliding your thumb around and hoping if you do it exactly right, the little circle will show up, the little magnifying glass will show up. And
nice.
It would be so much easier if you just had cursor keys.
Yeah.
But the Macworld this year, Apple just didn't have anything that interesting.
No, not at all.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm guessing he's not only out as the spokesman, but he might be out of the company a little bit because the company just seems not to be as innovative as it used to be.
Huh.
So what did they announce at Macworld? Just some stuff about DRM removal, a dual pricing scheme or triple pricing scheme for the iTunes store.
Right.
And removal of DRM at a higher price.
Uh-huh.
And some of us, one 17-inch notebook.
Right.
And they made a huge fuss about some improvements to iLife or something.
Yeah, which actually
didn't seem like very much.
See, I never really cared that much about iLife, but apparently it is actually now something significant. And and it might be worth looking into. So I won't downplay that. But yeah, not a lot was changed. I suspect there are some things that they've been working on though.
Right.
They've been really busy. They decided they were not at a place to be able to announce anything.
Right.
One of those things I think is updated firmware for the iTouch and iPhone.
Right.
To allow multitasking, or what did you call it?
Push notification. They've always promised that from the beginning. People are hoping for an official copy and paste solution.
Yeah.
So that kludgy one we talked about before.
Yeah.
But Apple never claimed that. They certainly claimed push notification a long time ago.
Well, I suspect that the rumor about them producing a netbook may not be that far off.
Yeah.
Some kind of a small device. What I would really like is to see Apple come out with a larger iPhone or iTouch, namely just an iTouch that does run on OS X, but is in a netbook form factor with a screen that flips around so that all you have to carry around is a tablet-like PC or a tablet-like Mac.
Yeah, there were rumors about that, but it never happened.
Well, not necessarily the flip-around screen, kind of like Toshiba.
No, the rumor was that there'd be like a 7 or 8 inch iPod Touch.
Yes.
That would just become a tablet computer.
Yeah. I mean, with the clicking of the touch, you do get a tactile feel.
No, you don't.
Okay. You get a tactile sound.
But it doesn't help because there's nothing in it to guide your fingers to the right spot on the screen. Like the BlackBerry Storm has actual, honest to God, tactile where you push down the screen and it actually moves and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't help whatsoever because it doesn't give you any guidance whatsoever to where to place your fingers.
You're not going to get that. So, you're not going to get that. But you could, with a larger screen, at least get closer to something that works. Because the touch
right now...
It's
large enough, it's not that bad. Yeah.
So that's kind of my hope, is that we get something that's usable with more memory that can act like a netbook computer. But
People were claiming in past years they seemed to be getting thinner and thinner when they saw him. And maybe he was ill, and maybe he was dying again.
Yeah.
Or like maybe that pancreatic cancer came back or something.
Uh huh.
So he finally admitted that yes, it just seemed to be health issues that caused him not to do this macro.
Okay.
But he's not really dying. He's not really that sick. But he just has some kind of a hormonal imbalance.
Okay.
That took the doctors a long time to figure out.
Right.
That's causing him to lose weight, and they're now starting to treat him.
Okay.
But first of all, it doesn't really sound in a way that it would take up that much of his time that he couldn't do his normal work at Apple anyway. So
right.
It feels a little suspicious.
Interesting.
But people are speculating a lot whether this hormonal imbalance is actually legitimate.
Yeah.
I just have a total theory. I have no information at all. But we know that Steve is a vegan.
Right.
And Wes used to work at Apple.
Yeah.
And tell your story again. Maybe it's just some old show, but tell your story again about the cafeteria.
Well, a lot of rumors were flying around at the time when Steve first came back to Apple. His management style was very aggressive, and he was always looking to get rid of people who he felt were not, actively participating in bringing Apple back to life.
Okay.
So, with that aggressive attitude, some of the rumors that were flying around were that he would hang out in the R&D 1, walking around and riding the elevator and running into people and actually asking them what value they added to Apple at that time. And if the answer or response that you gave was, didn't make any sense, then the rumor was that Steve would fire you.
Or
send you a pink slip or something like that.
Right.
So on that note, he was also aggressive in other areas, one area was in his veganism. The rumor is that one day the sushi bar was shut down. It was actually nobody was there, and everybody was kind of wondering what had happened.
Okay.
And the rumor was that Steve had ordered something and asked the sushi chef specifically, is this vegan? Is this particular...
Uh-huh.
Well, it had some sort of oil in it that apparently was not. It came from some kind of pork or something.
Uh-huh.
Why it would be used in sushi, I don't know. But Steve uh-huh. went back to his office and did some research, found out that it was not truly vegan, and fired him.
Right. Okay. So with that background, and he's probably gotten stricter, I think vegans tend to get worse over the years, about it. Is this imbalance he's having, is it really just because he's not eating enough?
Yeah.
And shouldn't he just eat a hamburger? Does he need to send all the doctors and all the hormones and stuff? Is all he needs to do is just go to McDonald's or something?
Right. Again? Well, there's one down the street from One Infinite Loop. It's not that far away. He could go down there and have himself a nice, you know.
Right.
That's bacon double cheeseburger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm just kind of wondering.
Awesome.
By the other hand, I have seen websites that describe what the operation probably was when he had the pancreatic cancer.
Uh-huh.
And that operation is known to cause eating disorders and eating different hormones to take and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it could be that. And then one person was speculating that he's talking about hormones and stuff. Maybe he's getting ready for the sex change operation. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, wow.
With one wild rumor. And then someone else said that you know how Apple came out with the MacBook Air and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they expected maybe at this Macworld that Apple would introduce the thinnest and lightest CEO. But that never happened. And,
would that mean that he becomes Steve Jobs' heir?
Yeah.
Or heir Steve?
As opposed to Adobe Air. You know what Adobe Air is?
Yes, the Flash technology.
Yeah, but it's running Flash as a standalone application
right.
on your computer and stuff.
Okay, so one of the biggest events that's going on right now. Okay. Thank you. One of the big events that's going on right now is. What is it, Mark? Yes.
I used to go to all the time.
Right.
With Al Bernay, but they never got it together this year to go.
Okay.
I mean, I registered, so I could have, but I just never really did.
I was thinking about going myself.
Yes.
I would have gone with you.
Yeah.
I have 3 weeks of vacation saved up, so I could.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yeah, so it's just, as we record this, it's just kind of starting, really. But
yeah.
It's more of an over-the-weekend type show.
Well, there's already reports back from various different, net news sites about what's being displayed and what's going to be new and interesting. And one of the things is LCD monitors and screens.
Right.
So it's one of the things that they're talking
like
about.
Larger, they always have larger ones every year.
Larger, thinner, lighter.
Three-dimensional with no glasses.
Yeah.
Seems to be in. I don't think I've ever seen one with a three-dimensional with no glasses.
Huh.
I wonder how good they really are.
Okay.
They might be.
Yeah, so I don't have any information on like the different devices that are being displayed there, but we'll be reporting on that.
Right.
Well, talking a little bit about the interesting stuff that we're...
There's Windows 7.
Well, that's not going to be out until...
Well, there's betas of it available today.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's true. There is, yeah. With the new...
yeah, people like
the new start bar. Or...
Yeah, people like it. They say it's as fast and responsive as XP.
Mm-hmm.
But has all the modern stuff of Vista and even beyond that.
Well, they supposedly componentized it. This is the rumor, is that they made it very, very modular and made it so that only what your machine uses will be installed.
Okay.
But that it can easily swap in and out different parts of its basic core components. So you're not running events that might slow your machine down in the background that are not necessary for what you do.
Uh-huh.
And then they invented, they rebuilt some of those components from the ground up for 7.
Okay.
Making them much more efficient and faster. So it was more like a, instead of trying to be flashy and come out with something that's aesthetically pleasing but is a memory hog, they just sort of focused on making everything that they had in Vista much more efficient and much more modular.
But for new machines, who cares? Memory is what, $50 a gigabyte or something or less? Who cares? if you get a 64-bit machine and run the 64-bit version of Vista, which I am now doing, you can add lots of memory. So sure.
When you go from a dual core running XP Professional to a much more advanced machine with lots more memory, a much more expensive graphics card,
right,
and you install Vista and it runs at the same speed as the other machine, and you spent a shitload more money on the new machine, you then have to question the
new machine isn't a shitload more money. The new machine.
They can be according to the configuration guides that are out there about yes. Thank you. You know, the requirements guides that are out there on what it takes to run Vista's, what is it called? The aesthetically pleasing?
Arrow.
What is it? Arrow?
Yeah.
According to that list, you have to buy a very expensive graphics card.
Not that. No.
It's something that can handle it.
$50 one.
No.
$50,
$50 one's not going to run Arrow.
Yes, it can.
Well, not with all the features turned on, though.
Yes,
of Arrow?
Yeah. Of course. I have cheap video cards up to the room. You just have to have a certain amount of memory as well.
Okay.
But somehow mine, this new machine, every once in a while, Arrow gets turned off. And I think rebooting brings it back, but I haven't quite figured out exactly what I have to do to bring it back yet. But I think I'm running something. They say that one of the reasons Arrow will get turned off is if you run some application
that
just can't work with it. So maybe I'm running something that I'm not paying attention to. But see, the thing is, there's something kind of wrong with the concept that you use this fancy video card to run Arrow, because what's the name of that really big popular product that will let you change the looks of the desktop and all the iPads and everything?
There's a configuration program for XP.
Yeah, that I forget the name of it right now.
Yeah,
but it puts all kinds of different shells on XP and stuff.
Themes and lets you skin XP.
And skin everything. Yeah. I run that on my notebook with a theme that makes my notebook look like Vista. Mm-hmm. You want XP? Not because I don't want. I installed the real Vista, but my notebook's old enough, couldn't get device drivers for it and stuff. This program does a transparent arrow-like interface on my notebook. It's perfectly, you know.
Nice.
So that's why I've always been a little bit skeptical about Microsoft's hardware requirements. You seem to be able to get by with the faking it, you know, with much less than that.
Well, so I can't wait until 7 comes out. We'll be happily waiting for that to arrive.
Well, the beta's out now. One could download it.
When it becomes something that's available, we should find hacked versions of it or freely distributed ones.
And Microsoft is extending the life of XP yet again, so it'll kind of intersect to when 7 comes out, so people can totally bypass Vista if they want to.
Okay.
And continue to buy new machines.
That's good. It's smart on their part.
Yeah.
Do you remember last week I was talking about Joost?
Yes.
So
Joost.
Joost. And one of the things that they had done is they took a chance and they basically dropped their application, which was at one time the only client that would capture and display and show the stream of channels that they were broadcasting.
Right.
Well, so they took a chance, they dropped that, and then they made it web-based, purely web-based. More like YouTube, more like Hulu, more like some of the other media streaming companies that offer web-based viewing. I mean, there's benefits to that. They don't have to continue to support applications on various different OSs, things like that. In November 2008, they had 550,000 U.S. visitors in that month alone. And ComScore says that they've been getting 1.4 million worldwide monthly visitors.
Okay.
So they basically, that was in November. So they've been increasing the number of users logging in, creating accounts, and then streaming their content. So it sounds like Joost is definitely making a name for itself. And since there's no configuration or nothing you need to do special to watch things like old Star Trek reruns and Twilight Zone reruns, it's it's a pretty cool system to...
And there's no advertising, right?
Well, no, there is advertising, but it's not a nuisance. It's nothing really major.
Okay.
But that is how they're making money. They just recently started to do that. The only other competitor that they're talking about right now is Hulu. Don't they do their own shows?
I don't know. I never looked at it that much other than just playing commercial TV shows.
Okay.
Put it on there legally or whatever.
Well, at some point, LCD televisions and LCD monitors will merge and become one. You'll no longer, I believe, this is a prediction of mine, it will no longer be a question of, oh, I need a computer monitor, I gotta go buy a computer monitor. It'll be whatever monitor you buy will be used for both your television as well as your computer.
But that's already been done today.
I know. But what I'm saying is there will be no choice. You won't go out and get a computer monitor.
Okay.
Here's my theory.
We just got a television today that has HDMI and stuff that can do both, because you can get HDMI output or you get DVI output from the computer, which is really just a different physical configuration than you have HDMI pretty much, because you can convert them back and forth from the other cable.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Well, I have a stupid item.
Okay.
We were talking last week about how there are a whole bunch of fart and Wookiee cushion applications for the iPhone, and at least one or two new fart or Wookiee cushion applications comes out every day.
Yes.
You know, comes out every day.
Yeah.
Well, we got the ultimate now.
The ultimate fart application?
Yeah. Fart Studio.
Whoa.
It's a keyboard that has fart noises on all the keys. You can play music by going up and down the scale with the fart noises.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I saw the first, I don't remember the name of it right now, but I saw the first vomit application the other day.
You know. The first vomit application?
Yes.
Nice.
So I don't remember the details that much, but yeah, that was kind of a milestone. I've never seen one of those go through before. So for all of you who don't have an iPhone, you better be jealous, because these are the kind of things that you can't do with your phone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
These are really important things. I mean, you know, forget software that calculates taxes and finance programs to help you save money. Those are all boring. We don't need Excel spreadsheets on our iPhones.
Right.
We need fart applications.
Yeah, much more important. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to do a little vintage thing here. I'm going to read a little something from the Computer History Daily quote.
Right.
I like to throw that into each of the shows.
Is something that happened. Today is the anniversary of that thing, whatever.
Well, in this particular case, yeah, that's this is just something to talk about that has some relevance with what we're dealing with right now. And then we opened the show talking a little bit about keyboards, computer keyboards.
Right.
So I'll start out by reading it. Just basically, the QWERTY keyboard is invented in the late 1870s. The name comes from the six alpha keys in the top left part of the keyboard. The keyboard layout is designed to slow down typing, thus preventing the keys from jamming, which is a common problem during this period. In light of all the technical developments through the years, the original QWERTY keyboard layout, designed to slow down typing, remains the standard keyboard configuration in use today.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting, because I didn't know it was something that was invented to slow down typing.
I've always heard that, but I wonder if that's really true. We should go back to the
original sources. Is that what, like, the keyboards, typewriters that had, like, the hands that would get, that would come back and hit the paper?
Yes, yeah. They absolutely could jam.
I know that.
At the same time, they certainly could jam.
Yeah.
But I've always heard that, but I wonder if that's really true.
How did that dictate the layout of the keyboard?
Maybe they chose positions. Well, I'd say partly to slow it down, because if you slow it down, you're less likely to hit two keys at the same time. And yeah. But I say I've always been slightly skeptical about that story, so we should really look that up.
Huh. And then on that note, does that mean that the Dvorak keyboard sped things up?
Yeah, the Dvorak keyboard was supposedly designed to be the most efficient.
All right.
For real word of words, for real English words at least, I don't know about other languages, that the Dvorak keyboard is supposed to have more possible words to type from the home row without moving your fingers at all, and then the other keys, you don't have to move it as much to type typical words, is the theory of that one. But that Dvorak is certainly not John Dvorak. I wonder who is that Dvorak anyway. We'll have to figure that out.
Huh.
John Dvorak is one of our competitors in the podcasting space.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny's from lately.
He's awesome.
Not as much as, he's awesome compared to our sport.
No, he's awesome in the sense that he's like Al Bernay.
Okay.
Very opinionated.
Right.
He's always cranky. Like they say, he's got the Cranky Geek Show, but...
Okay.
But he's always like upset about something, or he doesn't care about something, and thinks that everybody's over causing some technology to be overrated.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I think he's awesome.
Oh, okay.
But you're right; he is a Johnny come lately.
Mm-hmm. Compared to us,
oh yeah, we were doing this even before podcasting was something that was possible.
Oh yeah.
Well, no, it was possible.
We've been doing podcasting before anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've only mentioned once on a show how long our relationship has been, how long we've been friends.
A long time, yeah.
But so Jib Jab closes 7.5 million in Series C round funding. That happened just recently. You know about Jib Jab? Basically, it's a company that does random political satire cartoons in Flash.
Okay.
Sort of like Mondo Media does things like Happy Tree Friends.
And how are they supposed to make money?
Well, I guess they did advertising, but apparently they just got a bunch of funding, and one of the major funders who gave them some of this cash is a company that Will Smith owns, production company.
Okay.
And let's see, what's the name of the company that he has? Oh, Overbrook Entertainment.
Okay.
It's a production company from Mr. Willie Smith.
Okay.
So, you know, it's good to see that there's some creativeness being funded.
But how are they supposed to make money?
Well, they don't. They just get venture capital money.
Okay.
How else would you want to make money?
I know, exactly. I guess if they can make shows that would tolerate commercials or whatever eventually, I guess that would work.
Mm-hmm.
I have an old item.
Okay.
Piano rolls. The one company that left that was still making piano rolls to this day, according to an article, has stopped making them. They've gone out of the piano roll business. But if enough people have player pianos as a hobby, that they were buying piano rolls even recently, that's how they're staying in business and making new ones and stuff. I guess the sales must have dropped enough that they decided to stop it. Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
But there is a computer follow-up to that.
Yeah.
That during World War II, the actress Hedy Lamarr and a friend of hers came up with an idea to use piano roll technology in a military application.
Okay.
That was actually pretty ingenious. It didn't go anywhere at the time because it wasn't really ready for the world.
Yeah.
But that same technology later on became the CDMA telephone system.
Wow.
So her idea was, as an encryption mechanism, you'd have the identical piano roll. It wouldn't be real music. It would just be some artificial thing with a bunch of random holes punched, with one hole punched for a time slice. So as a roll move,
right.
If you tried to play on a piano, it would just play one random note at a time on the piano.
Okay.
And both ends have the same roll, and they both start it together, and both have motors that can keep it moving totally in sync with each other.
Okay.
Which might have been kind of hard. At the time, even that might have been kind of difficult, actually.
Yeah.
So then you attach the transmitting one on both ends, the transmitter and the receiver end. You attach the tuner to this piano roll mechanism.
Yeah.
So based on what hole is passing by the slot at the moment, yeah. that will tune the radio, the transmitter, and also tune the receiver.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So if you just have a totally random pattern on your roll, but identical on both ends, the receiver would be able to follow the transmitter as it keeps shifting frequencies all the time. But anybody else trying to tune around the dial would just occasionally hear a little blip on any particular frequency that
okay.
would mean anything to them out of context.
Okay.
So they wouldn't get the rest of the message.
Okay.
So as I say, for the day, using print roll technology and stuff like that, it was just too impractical to implement.
Okay.
But later on, let's say the CDMA telephone system works exactly the same way.
Yeah.
With a broad, wide channel that's available for the radio, the transmitter receiver to tune themselves to.
Okay.
And all the radios, like all CDMA telephones, which is like Sprint and Verizon in the United States,
yeah.
Work with that same technology. They just have one wide frequency to allow it to spread one wide one to Verizon.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they even share them for all I know, but they're probably separate.
Okay.
And then the transmitter and the receiver just have very high-speed encryption methods that they keep timed perfectly.
That's awesome.
So that the signal is just broken up in the, I'm not really sure how often they
okay.
switch per second.
Okay.
But they just switch around per second. So anyone trying to listen in on it will just hear a hiss
right.
because in any particular frequency, that's all they're going to get.
Okay.
Unless you know the encryption key of a particular phone you're trying to follow,
right.
you wouldn't be able to pick it out of a lot of the other ones.
I think the amazing thing about this story has nothing to do with the technology. Well, it does have something to do with the technology. The amazing part of the story is that she's hot.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Then you think it was really the other guy?
No.
You think it was really the other guy who came up with the idea?
No.
Used her name for permission?
No. Maybe to get fame or something. But
right.
No.
That's why I wonder if she just mentioned the idea casually and the engineer took it over, or whether.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Anyway, we have a pretty interesting story. And we have too many iPhone items for people who don't have iPhones, I suppose.
But wait, who doesn't have an iPhone? Oh, I do. I don't.
Should we take a survey in the server?
You
see any?
I have no iPhone. I have an iTouch.
I know, that's not the same.
No, it's not.
Anyway, we talked last time about how they were about to release, or had they already released, or they're about to release this product called Yellow Snow with the SN0W, because the hacker thinks they have to install it
right.
somehow. That would unlock iPhones, unlock 3G iPhones,
right.
so you can use other SIMs. You would not have to use the SIM card from the carrier you bought the phone from.
Okay.
And I was so proud of myself that they had warned people a long time ago, don't switch to firmware 2.2. At least don't do it the official Apple method. Because the official Apple method would also throw in a firmware upgrade to the modem, to the cellular modem, and they didn't know how to crack the newer version of the cellular modem.
All right.
So you had to switch to 2.2 through this jailbreaking method that would avoid updating the modem.
Okay.
So I did that. I'm one of the fools who took a lot of time and a lot of trouble switching to 2.2 that method instead of just using the official Apple method.
Okay.
Well, at the last second, they suddenly figured out how to break the new firmware.
Okay.
And they released Yellow Snow only for the new firmware,
nice.
Not for the old one.
Nice. Okay.
And they said, okay, everybody, just go upgrade now with the new Apple.
Okay.
The problem is that for me to upgrade at this point, when I'm already jailbroken, I already have all the jailbreak. I'd have to totally wipe out the phone, initialize it, upgrade, then totally reinstall everything.
Yeah.
At least all the jailbreak stuff.
And okay.
Paid. So I started seeing rumors that some people seem to know how to upgrade the, it's called the baseband, the modem firmware is called the baseband,
uh-huh.
how to upgrade that alone.
All right.
And it was pretty tricky. I mean, it's actually trivial, but I didn't understand enough about the internal of the iPhone.
I know there's a bash script involved in here.
Yeah, you don't need to. You could type it by hand, but yeah, there is. So I found a script. But one of the developers is on Twitter, one of the people who broke the iPhone is on Twitter, and he told someone once to be sure to unload the CC before you run the strip.
Okay.
So I had no idea what that meant.
Yeah,
so I finally found out from him what that meant, but I didn't know how to do it. He just said that the word CC stands for comm center. So he said, you should unload the comm center. What would I know about how to unload a comm center, right?
Well, yeah.
So I did some research on that. I finally figured out the magic command to unload the comm center. And I did that because I typed that in just as an experiment. And sure enough, it turned off all the cellular modem stuff. But then the iPhone kept rebooting like every 3 or 4 minutes. Because I've heard that before. It has like a watchdog timer.
Okay.
That certain things aren't working, it'll reboot itself. But once you do that command to unload the comm center, rebooting doesn't help. It doesn't come back. You have to give a command to load it again.
Oh,
all right. So my iPhone was bricked in the sense that I can no longer use a cellular modem. I still use Wi-Fi.
Okay.
But I couldn't do anything with the cellular modem, and every 5 minutes it would reboot itself.
Okay.
So I found the reverse command that would load it again.
All right.
And that wouldn't take. I couldn't get that to take.
Oh, gosh.
So I did a whole bunch more research. It turns out that for some reason, in some cases, like in mine, you have to do this dash W option when you load it again. So that worked. I got my phone back.
Okay.
And so then I copied the script that would unload it, do the magic program to update the firmware, and then load it again. So I copied and pasted that in a notepad on the PC and made a file out of it, transferred it over to the iPhone, and tried to run it. I just kept saying invalid commands everywhere. It wouldn't really work.
Did you do line endings?
I just used notepad. That's exactly the problem. I used notepad.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes.
See, that's because I do bash stuff.
Yeah, so I did after a while. I figured out after a while. Well, that was a problem, but I didn't really know how to do that.
And the error messages you get are totally, completely cryptic. You have no idea what it is.
So I finally figured it out. That's probably because I created a notepad.
Nice.
So I used the nano editor on the iPhone, which is like Pico, but even smaller.
Okay.
I noticed that it had an option to save in Mac format.
Okay.
But I couldn't figure out what keystrokes. It was very cryptic how to do it. It took me the longest time to figure out the keystrokes to accomplish that.
All right.
But that Mac format didn't help. That didn't help either.
Okay.
Turns out there's a third format of just nothing.
Oh.
So nano could save it in nothing, just a default iPhone or Unix format.
All right.
Or it could save in Mac format, or it could save in iPhone format. So I did that.
All those are just different line endings.
Right, and then I ended up with a permissions problem. They had to study permissions and stuff.
Right.
Anyway, I finally got it all working. I finally got it all working and upgraded it and installed Yellow Snow. And I tried it with the SIM card that I took to Europe last year.
Okay.
And it did work. It doesn't lock it. It doesn't work.
Nice. That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That is very, very cool.
Yeah.
And you know why they call it Yellow Snow?
Well, you shouldn't be on it.
Okay, very important. I want you, if you're single, to listen up to me right now.
Okay.
We have, for the longest time on the internet, suffered a very, very harsh reality, and that is we must pay if we want to join dating sites.
Okay.
Sometimes those fees can get outrageous and silly.
Okay.
Match.com is one of them.
Men only as opposed to women?
No, both. Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why you would want to go to a Match.com if you're a man. Is you want the women who are willing to pay.
Okay.
Because then they're really serious about it.
Okay.
Well, it turns out there's a couple of free dating sites, one of which was actually started by the guy who founded Match.com and a couple of other, and Chemistry.com. Well, Chemistry is a spinoff of Match.com, but it is complete. It's very, very different, even though it's started by the same guy. Well, anyway, this is called DownToEarth.com. It's the site that every single person listening to this podcast should at least check out.
Okay.
I have a feeling it's going to become very, very popular, and I read a very nice article about how cool it is and how similar in quality it will be to Match.com and some of the pay for dating sites.
Yeah, but only if it catches on and everyone starts using it. If everyone splintered into a whole bunch of free ones, then it'll never catch on, really.
Well, one of the problems with the currently existing free dating sites is the quality of people ranges. It's huge. It's very wide. Like, you know, if you take Craigslist, for example, if you're looking on Craigslist for, for somebody, you're going to get the people who are playing games who are not serious, as well as the people who are serious, but there's a lot of what I call noise.
Right.
There's fake profiles, there's liars, stuff like that, because it's free.
Right. So why wouldn't this one have the same problem?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. So that's what I'm kind of waiting to see.
Yeah.
But I am excited that, this is something that was founded by a guy who knows how to do it right.
But since nobody knows that, that's not automatically going to make people go there because they don't know that history.
Well, Mark.
So why would it be different than any other free one?
We're announcing it here on this show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And there's so many people that listen to our show.
Yeah, okay.
They're all decent people. I mean, none of the people that listen to the show are perverted.
I'm sure John Dvorak will copy us and he'll start talking about it.
Right, right. Sure. And Ken Radio, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They'll start copying it. Okay.
So there you go.
But do they have an iPhone version of it? If not, forget it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So do you want to move on to iPhone applications?
Probably.
Because I got one.
Oh, I have this item that I accidentally stapled. The sheet of paper that I couldn't find around the house, I accidentally stapled in my notes. I have that item, but maybe I won't mention it.
Nice.
Yeah, okay.
I got two, and I'll go first. One of these items is long overdue. When I introduced the W calendar, I never got a chance to talk about this next item that you actually brought to my attention in email.
Okay.
It is a free application that is in many ways better than the W calendar, which was like $10. This is called this application is called I Am a Man. And it is a very, very cool app. What it does is it lets you enter in different people into this calendar.
Okay.
You could say, well, Nicole. Right. I'm adding Nicole to the calendar.
Okay.
And then you might be interested in when Nicole's time of the month is.
Okay.
Enter that into the calendar, and it will predict for you, the man, when her cycle is.
Okay.
Why is this important?
But that's like the other one you were talking about.
That's true. Why is it? But what makes this an important application, what makes it important, is that you can put multiple women into the calendar.
Yeah, but the one we talked about last show, you put in multiple women with a separate password.
Well, this is the one that I'm talking about.
Oh, that this is.
We didn't talk about that in the last show.
Oh, we never got it. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure we didn't.
Okay.
Am I duplicating myself?
Maybe.
I might be. If we talked about it in the last show, then please, either I'll edit it out or please disregard this whole thing.
We talked in the last show about the one that can have multiple women in the database.
Yes.
And you have and if the woman forces you to reveal your password, you can do that.
Yes.
Because her password will only reveal her.
Right.
And you have a different secret
and
password.
And she doesn't have access to the settings button, which lets you see all the other women that you have.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I think we did talk about that.
Okay, we did.
But anyway, if we didn't, then stay in.
No, never mind. It's good. Yeah. Okay. But no, it's fantastic. And the best thing is that it's free.
Okay.
So, moving right along.
Huh.
So the next application, I'll get this over with pretty quickly. I am now supposed to track my hours at work.
Okay.
And status reports are important, but at one point in my working history, I had a Newton application and then a Pocket PC application that were both very, very good at starting. They're based on a timer theme where you would hit a button and it would start timing a task.
Right.
And you hit it again and it would turn off. And then you'd define what it was you were just doing.
Okay.
Or you could also do that at the beginning when you start the timer.
Right.
So I've researched a lot of the different applications that are available that do just this for the iPhone and iTouch.
Okay.
And they all have some reporting aspect, which is great. I'm torn between two applications, one of which does a very good job of reporting and emailing that report to an address of your choice.
Okay.
The other does a very good job of tracking and allowing you to understand what's going on in any given moment.
Okay.
Both of them allow you to have multiple clocks running at the same time.
Okay.
The one that I like, the GUI, and I like the actual reporting, is called Clocked In.
Okay.
And Clocked In has a big wide screen, and it basically comes up when you turn on the timer. It shows you the time allotted, the time counting up. and you can basically at the bottom you can stop the timer.
Well, pause it or stop it?
You can pause it and start it again if you want.
Okay.
Stop it and start it again.
Okay.
But you can also go and edit that particular task.
Okay.
And you can define any number of different projects or actions.
Right.
The way that they break it out is they break it out in project and activity.
But is the name of the project you're working on? See, that's really tiny. For me, I don't necessarily want to see the clock.
Very good.
No, but to me, I don't really want to see the clock ticking away. That's kind of distracting.
Okay.
I'd rather have the giant thing be the name of the project.
Okay.
To make sure I didn't make a mistake. To make sure that I didn't switch projects or forget to log it in or whatever. I'd much prefer that be the big
thing.
So
then what you do is you turn it off.
Right.
And the application goes away and it leaves a number.
Okay.
That shows you how many clocks you have running.
How many different timers you have running?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Right now I've only got one. Anyway, this application...
Oh, what's this 422?
That's the number of RSS feeds that I've read yet.
Okay.
So I like this this clocked in application.
Okay.
What I do not like is the lack of emailing that report.
Right.
So I can go in here and I get a view of the actual actual history.
Okay.
And the way that the view is brought up is actually using a calendar view, much like like iCal.
You can get a summary.
You get a summary
button.
Okay. Yeah. So you get a summary. That's true. There's my summary, and it's very nicely laid out. It shows like what I worked on.
Can you give a starting and ending time and a summary?
I don't think it does that. I think it does it by the total. Well, let's see. No, it does that.
Okay.
It does give you a summary based on the dates.
Okay.
So.
Because most people, that would probably be important because that's what they'd want to put on their timesheet or something.
But it's not very configurable. The aesthetics are really pleasing.
Yeah.
So that's the one application that I like. But the one that's actually more usable than this one, in the sense that you can send reports to yourself, is an application that's called Time Logger.
Okay.
I'm going to bring this as my favorite of the actual time tracking tools.
Mm-hmm.
You can set multiple clocks, start and stop the timers.
Okay.
You can go look at the actual reports of what it is that you've done.
Right.
Scroll through them, and it automatically defaults to showing you a week's view, so a week's worth of tasks that you've done.
Okay.
And you can go in and edit those individual tasks if you wish and assign them different time starts, stops, categories, clients, jobs, and even notes.
Okay.
So that helps me out a lot.
Yeah. Can it do TPS reports?
Yes.
And when it does a TPS report, does it do the new cover sheet or the old cover sheet? It can do the new cover sheet, because that would be pretty impressive.
Well, it lets you include attachments when it does the email. So
you can have you can make a skeleton of the new cover sheet and have it.
Okay, so now we're lying. We're lying. But
what do you mean?
Oh, okay.
It can't do TPS reports?
No, it doesn't do TPS reports.
Oh.
But it does mail CVS or lets you mail CVS or just like text version of the CSV or just a text version of the summary or the final report to an email address of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem with this application that I have a couple problems.
Mm-hmm.
The interface is bad when you go to when you go to start a clock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. It's not intuitive when you start the timer that there is after you start a timer, if you back out of the application, besides a number shown on top of the icon on your wallpaper or your icon, what do you call that? Besides seeing a number on this display,
the springboard,
yeah. Besides seeing a number in the upper right hand corner of that icon on the springboard, once you go back into the application with timers running, there's no immediate indication that there's anything going on.
But if you wait a while, there is?
No. No, there's a timer running in the background, but you don't know that.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah,
That needs to be revamped, and I don't know how you would fix that, but
well,
I just think...
Leave comments on the...
No, there's plenty of space on the main page in TimeLogger.
No, but that's what I'm saying. One way, if the developer has an email address, they're allowed to do, send them email directly. The other way is leave a comment at the App Store complaining about what you don't like. The developers read all those comments, and they usually fix them.
That's good. I may go ahead and respond, because I like this. Sure. The other issue that I have is that it crashes on my touch.
Of course.
It crashes after, like, I use this throughout the day, and it crashes at least twice a day.
Of course. All apps crash all the time.
No.
Part of it.
Not all apps. No, I don't have mine jailbroken. Mine's not jailbroken.
No, it's not that.
No.
Jailbreaking, I think, makes it more often. A lot of applications are just simply buggy.
Okay.
If you see a new version come out, they'll admit that one of the reasons for a new version is that it will crash less often.
Okay.
Like Facebook just had an update. Facebook had an update today. They're saying it crashes less often, implying that it just crashes within the program. The other problem is that everything will crash if you run out of memory, if you run out of the portion of memory in the iPhone that's available to run programs.
Okay.
And I think jailbroken iPhones will run a little bit lower on memory because the jailbreak stuff you typically have in the background eats up some memory.
Okay.
So when jailbroken phones, when apps crash to the low memory, that would happen on a regular iPhone as well, but maybe a few hours later after things got corrupted a lot more.
Okay.
That's the issue with the jailbroken.
Okay.
But everywhere at work, all the symptoms I have with low memory online, crashes and this application is getting weird. I see comments that regular users have exactly the same issues. I just might get them a little bit faster.
Okay.
You know, something like that.
Yeah. All right, so what are your apps?
I normally don't like games, but I suddenly discovered a class of games that I actually like.
Really?
And
This is revolutionary.
I know, for me. Yeah,
this
is
huge. The audience needs to know.
I know.
Ever since I've known you, way back in my high school days, you never really enjoyed games that much.
Well, I did play. I did get into the original, very original adventure cave game.
Okay.
I didn't like that.
Well,
remember
before the internet,
very rare. Yeah.
We were doing bulletin board stuff, and I would get a hold of some video game and show it to you. You didn't really care.
Okay. Anyway, but the one I like now are for the iPhone. The version that I like best is called Touch Physics.
Oh wow!
But it's one of the crayon applications. There's applications for PCs and Macs and stuff, I think, that have the word crayon in them.
Okay.
Where you kind of have a blackboard that comes to you with some designs already on it, and there's a puzzle where the puzzle will be. There's a little circle somewhere on the blackboard and a little star somewhere on it.
Okay.
And your goal is to get the circle to the star. Okay. And there will also be some background objects and stuff.
Okay.
Okay. And you can draw things. You have a crayon. You can draw things and erase what you drew.
Okay.
Okay. So these games have a lot of laws of physics built into them, and they can recognize the objects. So the objects that are already there will have certain motions that they'll do.
All right.
And then the objects that you draw come alive and start having mainly gravity property.
Okay.
So if you draw a circle, if you close a circle, all of a sudden it'll start falling.
Okay.
And like as an example, you want to get their circle. Circle comes with the game, represents the ball. You want that to move to the right. You drop a ball on top of it a little bit left of the center, and that'll shove it to the right a little bit.
Okay.
As a quick example. But you can draw other objects of any shape, and it'll become a polygon.
Okay.
And it'll start falling. And if it hits some of the objects already in the game, they have a very little friction. So if it hits objects already in the game, it might be stable, or it might just slide off. And then underneath the game board, off the screen, as things die, things fall into a pit.
Okay.
So if you draw something that's, say, not perfect enough to land on top of objects that are already there and be balanced on them,
they'll
just slowly slide off into oblivion.
Okay.
So you draw objects, you draw balls or things that drop on the circle, you draw other objects, like if there's a pit, you can draw a line and balance it correctly. can cover over a pit so you can get the ball to move along your line to the star, sort of thing. So anyway, it has 30 different levels, with each level being a puzzle to solve about how just by drawing the objects in your own, and with gravity and stuff, how you can cause the ball to get to the star and get rid of the objects in the
cool.
So anyway, I just like that a lot. I did solve all 30 levels on it.
That's a thinking game.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's one.
What's that game called again?
Touch Physics. And then the
Physics, okay.
Yeah, the one that I think emulates the PC games more is called Crayon something. Hold on, I forget the exact name. That one's a little bit more sophisticated in a way. I'll just call Crayon on the iPhone version. But the, well, it says Crayon Physics when you start the game, but it's called Crayon on the icon. But that one has a problem with memory, and not just on the jailbroken phone, but everyone complains about the same thing. It starts having symptoms, it starts getting sick, and it doesn't let you do things in the game when it's low on memory. So I might like that one, but it just gets too frustrating because I always run into those symptoms of low memory and I can't go on.
Okay.
So anyway, that one would be good when they come out with a new version that fixes that problem. Then for non-games, let me look through here and see what I like lately. I don't like that one. We can end all without, right?
Uh-huh.
They ever talked about the X10 application? It's kind of fun.
Yeah, you did. You have the X10 hookups at your house.
Well, I have one. This is more interesting in theory because I don't think it's popular yet. But there's several applications on the iPhone to read two-dimensional barcodes. You know, sometimes you'll see in a magazine or you'll see on a poster or something, there's a weird square with a bunch of dots and stuff. That's a two-dimensional barcode type of thing that identifies a product or that identifies something. And there are several applications for the iPhone that can read different types of those and let you go up to one of those posters or magazines and bring up a web page about that product and what that thing is trying to show you. Well, Microsoft is now getting into that business, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And Microsoft now has an application. They have their own design for colored two-dimensional barcodes.
Are they like triangles?
No, I've never seen one. I've never seen the real thing. I'd never even heard of it other than downloading this
application. They're not really barcodes, though.
No, they're not a bar. They're,
right.
We call them barcodes just because, you know, that people are used to that concept of a symbol that identifies a product.
Uh-huh.
But two-dimensional ones are more square or something. But with Microsoft, when they say they have color as well in the little barcode things. And Microsoft has an iPhone application called Tag Reader that reads these Microsoft tag formats.
Okay.
If that ever catches on, I don't know if it will or not.
Okay.
But I'm ready. My iPhone is ready if the Microsoft tags ever catch on.
Well, they also have that same application for their Pocket PC Windows Mobile.
Do they?
Yeah. As well as something else.
So is this old? Is this something I just missed? But is the concept catching on?
I don't know if it's catching on. This tagging that they've created has been around for a little bit, while. And so they have applications on other systems.
Okay, but have you ever actually seen one anywhere?
I haven't, no.
You've never seen it yet? I have occasionally seen the more standard, the black and white type of these other standards.
Okay.
I've rarely seen one of those. But anyways, that's just a curiosity that Microsoft has an iPhone application.
Well, this is their second iPhone. This is their second iPhone application.
What else do they have?
I don't know. I forget what the other one is. I just know this is the second one.
Okay. I should have the second one. Why don't I have it? It's Microsoft.
You should have both.
Well,
the first was sort of an experiment, but it was actually somewhat useful.
Huh. I should figure that out.
We'll have to figure out. We'll have to find some notes. Put that in the show notes of the two Microsoft applications for the iPhone.
Yeah, I'll go search for the other one.
Yeah.
And I guess that's... I just leave it at those two. I mean, I've got the offer. I'm sure I can come up with it. They're actually useful for something. But
okay.
I'll just leave it at that.
All right. So that's it. We're over our time.
Yeah. But Wes, we're always over our time.
I know, Mark. We are.
So go to slurpcast.com to see a blog entry that's behind this podcast that explains what we're talking about and any updates, lists out links, exact links to the URLs we're talking about.
Yep, mistakes that we've made and corrections.
Right.
And even sometimes...
Well, that's always me who makes a mistake.
No, no, that's not true. Yeah. I have the ability to edit out my mistakes. We also sometimes, from time to time, we'll put a video up there, like a YouTube video or something like that. Whatever's interesting.
Right.
So, and be sure, by the way, to look at the actual cover art that we have embedded within each MP3 file.
Okay.
The best way to do that is use Windows...
But you know, you should do
Windows Movie Player.
For people who just go to slurpcast.com or subscribe to the blog there and listen to it through that link, why don't you put the picture in there? Would you like to put the picture...
embedded in the MP3 file? Well, it'd be good to get a player that will actually display whatever MP3.
Or just on the screen. No, but forget the player, really.
Okay.
Because I don't know if players will typically do that.
No.
But just in the... blog entry, you can just put post pictures.
I could. You're right. You know what? You're right. I should do that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That would be good for me to do. And definitely participate in the
comments.
Yeah, leave comments. We don't get a lot of that.
Right.
We want more of that. And then eventually we'll figure out a way to make some money off of this.
Huh. Right. Well, tell your friends.
Yeah. Tell all your friends.
And tell them to tell all their friends.
Yep.
Tell them to all their friends.
Yeah. It'll be like
pretty soon we'll have no
friends. It'll be like that guy who ran Alpha Beta.
Which one?
The grocery store, Alpha Beta.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See, nobody remembers that. It's gone because nobody told their friends.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.